As we record this, we've learned that the British Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, has been moved into intensive care after contracting COVID-19. We wish him well and we hope to bring you more on that tomorrow. Today's episode is about the many hundreds of people who went on cruises only to become stranded at sea as coronavirus hit. It was meant to be the trip of a lifetime, on board a luxury cruise ship that would take passengers along the breathtaking South American coast, from Argentina to Chile, and then through the Panama Canal to Florida. But instead, their journey on the Zaandam turned into a nightmare as coronavirus hit, and then country after country refused to allow the ship to dock. From The Guardian, I'm Anushka Astana. Today in Focus, confined to your cabin as COVID-19 takes hold. Tell me about the Zaandam.
It is a huge cruise ship with 7 or 8 decks.
Erin McCormick is a Guardian reporter based in California.
Staterooms for passengers. A lot of them have balconies on the outside where they can sit and look out to the sea.
Exploring new lands, experiencing new customs, and making new friends.
On board, there are nightclubs and restaurants and ballrooms, and they have kind of like cabaret entertainment, and they have bingo parlors and all sorts of entertainment for mostly adult and many elderly guests.
Where did it set off on this voyage and what was the planned route?
Well, in Argentina, 1,200 passengers boarded, and most of them planned to do a 2-week trip and disembark in Chile. Only 400 of them would have continued all the way to Florida.
And who were they? Where were the passengers from?
These passengers were from all over. There were more than 300 from the United States, 211 from Great Britain, 200 and something from Australia, a couple hundred from Canada, Mexico. They're from all over.
It's hard to think back to early March now, and it definitely felt very, very different to now. But by then, we did know that cruises were being turned away from ports. And we saw the terrible situation for the Princess Diamond, where passengers were held on a ship off the coast of Japan with coronavirus spreading.
She says every day it would be 60, 70, 99 new infections. We were scared how powerful this is.
Why were people still getting onto cruises at the time?
A lot of people that we've talked to have said that they didn't think that there was any coronavirus in South America. It hadn't really appeared there yet. It was all in Asia. We were seeing a tiny bit in the United States, but they thought they were safe going to South America and that it wouldn't hit down there.
And okay, if the passengers didn't realize, surely the companies realized how vast the spread of coronavirus was. Who owns Zaandam and why were they continuing to operate cruises at that time?
The Zaandam is run by the Holland America Cruise Line, which in fact is owned by a kind of a giant cruise company, Carnival Corporation. And they suspended all operations on March 14th. But just before that, they were still running cruises. And in fact, passengers were having kind of a hard time getting refunds.
And I've heard of some companies even encouraging people to go on cruises.
Yes, there's an investigation being run out of Florida right now that Norwegian Cruise Lines, which is a different company, was calling customers with sales pitches and telling them things like, the coronavirus can only survive in cold temperatures, so the Caribbean is a fantastic place to take a vacation.
Okay, so the Zaandam set off from Argentina's capital, Buenos Aires, on the 7th of March and headed up the west coast of South America towards Chile. Do you have any sense of what the mood was like as that journey began?
You know, it's such a lovely vacation. Everyone can go to the shows and visit with their family, and everyone's eating these grand dinners in these beautiful ballroom kind of settings with white tablecloths and lovely waiters and fabulous food and wine. It's really quite a party on board these ships.
Do we know when that mood started to change?
Well, they were supposed to pull into port in Chile on the 14th of March. And apparently they did pull in and the boat did stop. But in the end, Chile wouldn't let the passengers get off.
Why wouldn't Chile let them disembark?
Well, Chile began closing its borders to all travelers at that point to try to keep coronavirus out. The other thing is, you know, there had already been cruise ships coming in and out that were having problems with the coronavirus, and the crews were sometimes carrying the virus, and they were getting on and off, and I think there was a lot of worry about people spreading it in the populations.
So what did they do?
Well, they just kept, they kept steaming northward and, you know, decided they would try to bring the passengers to Florida, where the boat was supposed to end its voyage.
It was on the 22nd of March, 2 weeks after setting sail from Argentina and after being refused entry to San Antonio in Chile, that staff on the Zandam started to notice an influenza-like illness beginning to spread. They told all passengers to lock down in their cabins.
So they wouldn't allow people to get out and wander around the boat anymore. They just had to sit there in their cabins. And food was delivered to them. The waiters would come and bring it and just leave it outside their door on the floor because they didn't want to cross-contaminate with the people that were locked in their cabins. You know, days pass, and then they start to hear that no one wants to let them dock and that there is even question about them docking in Florida. And, you know, at one point they stop along the coastline and there's this like secret nighttime supply drop in Ecuador, and they're not allowed to pull up to the dock in Ecuador, but a helicopter comes in with some medical supplies for the ship, and they pull up close to the coastline, and apparently a boat kind of runs out these medical supplies to the ship so that they'll have enough to take care of people on board.
So at this point, you're reporting on this story. Who are you in touch with?
I've been reporting on this with my colleague, Patrick Greenfield, and we've been in touch with probably dozens of people on the boat via WhatsApp and Facebook.
Hi, Erin. My name is Laura Gabarmoni.
One of the first people I got a hold of was Laura.
We have been sailing without a port and have not been on land.
And she was trapped in her room, just really wanting to get outside. And I think they let them out one day in shifts. They let them out, walk around the deck for a few hours. But they were starting to hear murmurings that Florida didn't want to let them in. And some of the politicians there were concerned that they would spread the virus within Broward County, where Fort Lauderdale Port is. And so Laura was sending out these audio pleas for the politicians to agree to let the boat come home.
The main message I would like to give our elected officials and our government is, please do not abandon us here. We are part of a community and we are people who need your help.
They were feeling so trapped and so fearful, and they're from Florida, and they were feeling, I think, a little bit ashamed that there would even be a question about allowing this boat to come back.
And meanwhile, these passengers are in their rooms. They know COVID-19 is on the ship. Did they have an understanding of how quickly it was spreading if others were falling sick?
I think no one on the ship knew what was happening to other people. They're all locked in their rooms. Even parties that came together, like, you know, if there's a family where the grandparents were there and the kids were there and the grandkids were there, they're in different rooms, so they can't even communicate with each other. The way people were communicating was on this Facebook page, which they created for people on the ship to talk to each other. We were getting information from the company about how many people were sick on board. And apparently, at one point, there were nearly 100 staff that were sick. And so they were struggling to keep people fed and also to allow the staff that were sick to isolate themselves.
It must have been terrifying on board. What happened next?
Well, they were finding out about this illness and they were very afraid. One day the captain came on and made the announcement.
Unfortunately, four of our fellow guests have passed away. Mm. One overnight, two yesterday, and one a few days ago. Our thoughts and prayers are with their families, and we are doing everything we can to support them during this difficult time.
Sadly, four people had already died on the ship, and he announced that they had received coronavirus tests.
And yesterday, a number of patients were tested, and two individuals tested positive for COVID-19.
The terror on board just really increased at that point. And for their families, too, families were communicating with us. They had sick parents on board that really seemed to be suffering and going downhill. We were also hearing they had people on oxygen and on ventilators, it turns out.
Wow. So what did the captain do next? What was his strategy to keep people safe after that point?
Well, they wanted to make sure that people could isolate safely. And they had a lot of people that were in these, you know, interior rooms in the ship where they had no windows, they had no ventilation. So because a lot of the cruise ships at this point around the world were empty, they were able to bring a ship that they had sitting in Mexico, and they had it steam down the coast for 3 days and meet up with the Zandam.
Starting today, we are going to begin moving a small number of guests over to the Rotterdam.
So that they could offload healthy passengers onto this second ship called the Rotterdam.
And health screening will be conducted before transferring.
So that ship came down with a crew of about 600, and it was empty, and they were able over the course of 2 days to get about 600 people off and onto the Rotterdam.
What were the people you were talking to saying at that point?
Well, it was kind of terrifying to them because it was like they were dividing people up into the healthy and the sick.
Anna came down with a cough a couple of days ago, and she went.
We got a communication from one couple. They were left on the Zandam. The wife had just come down with a cough.
She wasn't tested, but she doesn't have a fever. But because of that, we're isolated. So we're stuck on the ship. We can't go anywhere.
And they were worried about how they were going to get home.
That is just extraordinary. They're stranded at sea. They must have been absolutely desperate. What happened?
At that point, they were supposed to be transiting through the Panama Canal, but Panama was not wanting to let them come through. Apparently, they have to have employees get onto the boat and navigate it through the canal. Then these would be Panamanians. And they didn't want their employees exposed to the coronavirus. So after, I believe, 2 days of negotiations and lobbying from these families and from around the world.
A Holland America cruise ship where four guests died has now been given the green light to make its way through the Panama Canal with their final.
The country finally agreed that they could come through, and they required their employees to get on the boat wearing full hazmat suits and masks and protection. They required the passengers to be in their rooms with their curtains closed. They couldn't be on their balconies. They had to turn out their outside lights and not really even come into the air as the ship passed through Panama.
Coming up, what happens to more than 1,000 passengers stranded on the Zaandam as it reaches America?
The ship carries on along the original route that was supposed to be a holiday route. As you say, there are over 300 Americans there, and they're quite close to what's supposed to be the final destination.
This morning, passengers aboard two Holland America ships off the coast of Florida are desperate to dock.
But initially, it looked like they wouldn't be able to disembark. Why was that?
You know, it started with some of the local politicians and the mayors raising their concerns. And then, you know, went all the way to the governor.
And not only that, I mean, I think a lot of these are foreigners. And so
was concerned that that foreigners were being dumped in Florida.
We cannot afford to have people who aren't even Floridians dumped into South Florida.
And that it would add to the illness that the area was already experiencing.
I mean, not a particularly nice thing to say anyway when people are facing possible death on a ship because of COVID-19 spreading. But they also weren't foreigners. As you said, over 300 of them were Americans. But DeSantis had already made some controversial moves, hadn't he? He'd been holding out longer than pretty much anywhere else in the US before ordering people to stay at home. Why was that? What was going on in Florida?
Throughout the United States, there's been a lot of debate about how seriously to take the coronavirus and to whether to have people isolate and stop the economy and close businesses.
Clearwater Beach, Florida, today as packed as ever.
Governor DeSantis was criticized for allowing students to gather during spring break.
At the end of the day, I'm not going to let it stop me from partying.
And have parties where, in the end, it seems coronavirus could have been spread.
What changed his mind?
Well, it appears that President Trump stepped in and argued that they should really let these people off the ship.
States don't want to take. They have enough problems right now. They don't want to take them. But we have to, from a humane standpoint. We don't have a choice. It's like, I don't want to do that, but we have to. People are dying.
And then finally, this weekend, that huge moment for the crew and passengers when they were finally able to dock.
On Friday, the Zaandam and the Rotterdam did indeed get to come into the Fort Lauderdale port.
Just received clearance for both ships to proceed into Port Everglades.
At first, it seemed kind of like a victory and a celebration. They had a few port employees that kind of cheered and waved at them as they pulled up to the dock. But then the ambulances pulled up and they started to unload.
You can see these live pictures from Sky 10 where you can see both ships surrounded by ambulances on the ground. Something we must
mention. It looked like really sick people. They had to send, I believe, 14 people to the hospital. So it was kind of scary, really.
Do we know whether anyone's still in isolation?
Well, a number of people had to stay aboard the ship because they were still sick, and the cruise line had agreed not to have the sick people come ashore unless they needed to be hospitalized. So everybody else got off the ship, and there were planes chartered for them to go to their countries, or at least most of the way there.
More than 1,100 passengers showing no symptoms of being sick were driven from the port to the airport, and they will take charter flights to airports across the country.
Holland America had to make all these arrangements for chartered flights. But then what I'm hearing now is it turned out to be kind of a mess. They flew to the first stop, and then they basically had to get on regular commercial flights. And in some cases, the airlines didn't want them on board because they'd been on this ship. I think there were about 100 Australians who ended up in San Francisco, and they were supposed to get on a United Airlines flight, and the flight wouldn't let them on. The last 24 hours trying to get home has been more stressful than again, almost the whole trip. It's really been hard. One guy was complaining. Yeah, he was at the airport. He ended up stuck at the airport in Atlanta, and he was just wandering around the airport with people who had no masks or any protection, and, you know, sitting at a restaurant where the waitresses weren't wearing masks. And he was like, wow, you know, we got off this ship and we had police escorts and people in full hazard gear. And all of a sudden, he's just wandering around in the Atlanta airport.
It really does sound like a nightmare with, I don't know if I'd call it good news, but at least an ending where all the passengers had disembarked from the Zaandam and the Rotterdam. But are there other cruise ships like them out there?
Yes, there are. We're tracking several, and it sounds like there's about seven out there still. And this on Saturday, another one came in. It was the Coral Princess. It had been kind of waiting just behind the Zaandam in Rotterdam, hoping to come in. And it was held off by the Coast Guard for one night. Came in Saturday, and two people had died, including one who died in the night while they were not allowing it to come in.
And have you spoken to any people on board those ships?
I spoke with the daughter of Leslie Goldstein, who's been waiting for her mother to get back for weeks now. She was not allowed to get off the ship where she was supposed to in Brazil. And she says her mother is frantic to get off.
We're anxious. We're nervous. I cry a lot. And I'm just hoping that my family is safe and that we'll be safe.
Now they've come into port and they thought that they were going to be able to get right off after the ill were unloaded and head home. But all the travel arrangements for all those passengers have been thrown into complete disarray because the CDC has now changed the rules and is saying they can't get on commercial planes anymore.
Why is it that we have cruise ships in this position?
Well, one problem they have is they don't really have countries that are responsible for taking care of their passengers. Most of the cruise companies have registered in countries where there's not very much taxes. Carnival is registered in Panama. Yet it's headquartered in the U.S., and most of its ships are registered out of the Bahamas. And this has been really convenient for saving them a lot of money on taxes. But it's hard now to turn to the U.S. government and say, hey, take responsibility for all these sick passengers.
Do you think that the cruise industry will recover from this?
They're having to borrow a lot of money right now just to keep themselves going. And they're issuing warnings that their reputation may take a long time to come back to a positive image again.
Erin, thank you very much.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me.
That was Erin McCormick. Holland America sent us a statement saying that when the Zaandam set off, it was considered safe to continue travelling. Travel warnings were limited to China and a few other countries. They added that as the guidelines from the US Centers for Disease Control and the World Health Organization evolved, they adapted to those with health surveys, restrictions on boarding and cleaning protocols. The statement went on, "We, like other cruise lines, had guests around the world waiting to get on their ship as planned. Airlines were flying and resorts were open. The situation changed rapidly, with most border closures occurring around the third week of March, with no notice or provisions for people in transit." Erin and colleague Patrick Greenfield have been covering this story from the start with extensive interviews with people on board various ships. Do read their excellent reporting at theguardian.com. That's it for today. My thanks to Erin McCormick and to Patrick Greenfield. This episode was produced by Elizabeth Cassin. Sound design was by Nicholas Cox.
the executive producers are Nicole Jackson and Phil Maynard. We'll be back tomorrow.